on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Cabinet has signed off on the roadmap for ending restrictions by October 22nd in an hour's time. The Taoiseach will take to his feet outside Government Building to announce all COVID restrictions will be lifted by that date. The HSE is urging anyone wishing to take COVID-19 tests in the Northwest to book in advance where possible. A number of people whose homes were damaged by flooding in 2015 in Burnfoot have been served notice to remove all personal items from their properties. One of the residents says they believe that is effectively an eviction notice. And Deputy Thomas Pringle on the need for what he terms a proper micro redress scheme. Later in the bulletin, Kenny Harkin will be here with the sports news that's coming up at around 5:15. All that to follow, but first this evening, the North's Deputy First Minister has tested positive for COVID-19. Michelle O'Neill has contracted the virus despite having had two doses of a vaccine. She says she is self-isolating and will return to public duties next week. The Cabinet has signed off on the roadmap for ending COVID restrictions by October 22nd. In around an hour's time, the Taoiseach will announce that all COVID restrictions will be lifted by that date. As Casey O'Riordan now reports, public transport is expected to return to full capacity tomorrow, with other restrictions being eased on a phased basis from this coming Monday.
From Monday, September 6th, increased numbers will be allowed at both indoor and outdoor events. Live music can be indoors at weddings and in bars, and communions and confirmations will no longer be advised against. The government's reopening roadmap will see a move away from police restrictions and towards personal responsibility. From September 20th, the advice to work remotely where possible will dissolve. Indoor activities for children, such as dance classes and speech and drama, can resume. Digital COVID certs will likely be required for indoor events, but come October 22nd, they'll no longer be required at all unless travelling abroad. Nightclubs will likely be the last to open, with government planning to run a pilot event in September.
Well, Green Party leader and Transport Minister Eamon Ryan says recommendations around mask wearing will not change.
Now, we're still in a risky situation with regard to the virus, so keep the mask on at all times in public transport, in retail, in the same recommendations we have at the present time. That won't change. But we do need public transport back, because we are going to be bringing people back to the offices and to college, and they need to get a way to get in.
The HSE is urging people who wish to take COVID-19 tests in the Northwest to book in advance where possible. The head of the service, Dermot Monaghan, says while walk-in services are still available, booking online will make the system more efficient.
The HSE in Cavan, Monaghan, Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal would like to encourage people to use the self-referral online system to make a COVID testing centre appointment, as this allows for easy flow in our testing centres. We would also encourage people with appointments to arrive at their designated time.
And that booking system can be accessed at hsc.ie. There are full details on our website, highlandradio.com. A satellite COVID-19 vaccination clinic will open next week in Burnfoot. Vaccinations will be administered at the clinic in St. Columbus Community Centre from next Tuesday. The Burnfoot Centre is expected to operate on a 1 or 2 day a week basis. A number of people in Burnfoot whose homes were damaged by flooding in 2017 have been served notice to remove all personal items from the properties. 8 houses in the Park on Greenland estate have been lying vacant for over 4 years. In a letter, Donegal County Council says the action has been taken at the request of other tenants to protect against malicious damage. One of the residents affected is Kathleen Malloy. On today's 9 till noon show, she told Greg Hughes she doesn't believe that's the reason.
The people that weren't flooded that night are still there, but for an anniversary present, I suppose, we got the second direct communication from the council yesterday. In 2018, in February, the council contacted us and brought us down to a meeting in Cairn to tell us to remove all our items from the house. At that stage, we refused to do that because we were told we would possibly be back the following year in the house. Now, yesterday, we got a letter giving us notice to read the personal items in Park and Greenan to that we have a date and a time to go to remove them. We have been denied access to the houses since April. We just found the house, the gates to be locked locked and sealed that we couldn't get in anymore into the houses. And now we have got this letter to tell us the council cannot do any remedial works to the houses until they can be satisfied that they won't flood again. Now they're going to deny us all access. So I think really it's an eviction notice, because if they get vacant possession of those houses, that's us finished with them for good. Like.
Kathleen Molloy there speaking on the 9 till noon show. The total number of people waiting on beds at Letterkenny University Hospital over the course of the month of August was 474. That's a major increase, up from 98 people in August 2020. This morning there were 18 people waiting on beds at the hospital, six of them on trolleys in the emergency department. A proper micro-redress scheme must be put in place before October's budget, according to Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle. He has been in contact with the Housing Minister and received a response from Dara O'Brien, but he says the response failed to provide any concrete updates. Deputy Pringle says the lack of progress on the scheme is not enough. He says it would be a disaster for affected homeowners if they're forced to wait longer.
I think it's vitally important that all of us put as much pressure as possible as we can on the government, as well as the members of the community and the redress committee, to ensure that the redress scheme is dealt with as quickly as possible. And I do think that basically the budget in October is the deadline to make sure that there's a scheme put in place, because that's where the government lays out their plan for the financial plan for next year. And if it's not in place by October, I would doubt very much if it would be in place at all.
And indeed, the discussions with the working group have been extended, and the minister in his correspondence to you says that it has been extended until the end of September, which we know. So, but as you mentioned, the budget, it doesn't really give much time there.
No, it doesn't. It should be whatever it should be in place, should be in place plenty of time for the budget, so that they can prepare for their budget for next year. The department can, and that as well, and to make sure that the department and the Minister for Finance are aware of what the requirements are going to be, because that's going to be vital, and that I think is the actual deadline, and it's something that we need to make sure that a proper scheme is put in place in time for that, because we can't afford to lose another year in designing the scheme, which I think that would be a disaster for the thousands upon thousands of families that are depending on it.
Deputy Thomas Pringle there speaking to Michaela Clark. Well, a meeting is to take place this week, hosted by members of the 100% Redress No Less campaign, in a bid to have a number of issues placed on the agenda for the final meetings of the Defective Blocks Working Group. The group is due to resume its discussions in the coming week and end them by the end of September. However, Paddy Diver of the 100% Redress campaign says there have been issues with delays in payments for contractors carrying out remedial works, and that's proving to be a major problem. He told Greg Hughes today that now is the time for these issues to be addressed.
I know the way these schemes have been going here now, stage one, stage twos, and there have been plenty of problems on them. So now we want to try and iron out the problems before the working group stop talking, because there's a lot of things, there's a lot of questions out there to be answered. There's people not getting paid. It's taken too long for payments, and that small contractors out there cannot sustain the money not coming in fast enough. The meeting tomorrow at 6 o'clock up in the Greenian, and listen, there's going to be no second chances. Only for the next, we've only got a council official in there for probably, the meetings are starting back with the working group now on what, the 6th of September. There's a very, very, nobody's seen this contractor side of stuff. So if we want our council official to change anything, you just need to turn up to the Greenian on Wednesday, because there's going to be no second chances. Whenever this year's scheme stops at the end of September, that's stopped, and hopefully God will we get what we want and all the rest. So the ball's in the contractors' courts, turn up, and all the council's going to be there.
And there was Paddy Diver there. There has been a notable increase in drink driving in Donegal, according to Gardaí, particularly in the Letterkenny district. Over the past 2 weeks, there has been a rise in the number of drink driving detections across the county. Garda Sergeant Paul Wallace is reminding people never to drive under the influence.
But I spoke to Superintendent Letterkenny this morning, and he said that there is a noticeable increase in drink driving again, and particularly in his area, and particularly over the last week, 10 days, fortnight. Small numbers, but one too many, because, you know, drink impairs you, it impairs your ability to make decisions and to be aware of what's going on around you. So we would appeal to people, you know, try the designated driver, use the taxis. You know, people are starting to move out now again, Greg. You know, things are starting to open up, and we hear the headlines there this morning about the different restrictions being eased. So it's important, you know, that people just think about what they're doing.
Donegal's Road Safety Officer is urging motorists to be more mindful on the roads as most children return to school this week. Brian O'Donnell says motorists must adjust to the return of schools. There'll be extra traffic delays and road safety concerns, and it's particularly important that people drive more carefully around busy school areas and never overtake school buses that are dropping off or picking up children. He says motorists must be more considerate.
Over the last number of days, with the staggered return to school, from majority of them now will return probably in the middle of this week, and we're asking motorists to be fully aware that children will be using the roads more often. There'll be a lot more traffic in the mornings and afternoons when children have been dropped off and been picked up. And we'd like motorists to be aware that kids will be using the road. We're asking them to slow down, pay attention when children are on the road, especially before and after school.
Parents are being urged to be aware of the location of their children and teenagers. It comes as Gardaí aim to crack down on an ongoing issue of trespassing in vacant buildings in the areas of Bunbeg and Derrybeg by younger people. Gardaí say incidents there are putting unnecessary pressure on the force's resources. Community and voluntary groups in Donegal are being invited to take part in an audit of community groups. The audit's been conducted by Donegal County Council's Community Development Section to ascertain the needs and aspirations of groups across the county. Anyone interested is being asked to complete a short online questionnaire by the 17th of September. There's a link to that survey available on our website, highlandradio.com. Ireland's population has passed the 5 million mark for the first time since the famine. It increased by 34,000 in the year to April, bringing the total now in the country to 5.01 million. That's according to new figures from the CSO today. The number of Irish nationals returning over the last year has been the highest since 2007, while the number of over 65s living in the country has risen by almost 20% in the past 5 years. Three men have been arrested in Strabane after a house was broken into and a man assaulted with bats. At around 20 past three yesterday afternoon, a group of men entered the house in the Lisnafin Park area. A male occupant of the property was assaulted. The windows were also smashed. Police say the victim was left badly shaken as a result of the incident. A short time later, police arrested three men on suspicion of aggravated burglary. Inquiries are ongoing. Police are appealing for information. A report into policing in South Armagh has recommended a massive transformation in how the PSNI operates there. It follows a long review commissioned by the North's chief constable after he was heavily criticised for posing for a photograph alongside heavily armed officers in Cross Madeleine. With more, here's Tom Douglas.
The PSNI chief constable Simon Byrne put the photo up on Twitter on Christmas Day 2019, which caused upset and anger in the local community. Mr Byrne says that has now been channeled into something positive.
I could have dug in and ignored the sort of the criticism, some of the concern, but we actually, I think, we're honest enough to look into our soul, to open ourselves up to the community. And this report, 160 plus pages, is testament to that.
Officers should no longer carry assault rifles unless there's a serious need to. Cross Madeleine station should close and Irish language messaging should be put up, according to the document. DUP MLA Jim Wells, speaking to the BBC, has accused the chief constable of kowtowing to terrorists.
It's pandering. After 50 years of an onslaught from terrorism, it's pandering to the very individuals who are responsible.
But local SDLP councillor Pete Byrne says the old style of heavy-duty policing is no longer appropriate.
What we want to see is more feet on the ground, more foot patrols, more cycle patrols, the police engaging with people in the community, the police community with the consent of the people in the community, not the heavily fortified armoured bases.
Many of the recommendations in this report have a timeline of up to 3 years on them, but work has begun on some of them already.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Kenny Hawken.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Finn Harps will be hoping for home advantage again when the quarter final of the FAI Cup takes place this evening. Joining Harps in the hat are fellow Premier Division sides Bohemians, Dundalk, St Pat's and Waterford, along with First Division clubs UCD and Wexford, and non-league Maynooth University Town. Harps reached the last eight by defeating Derry City 1-0 at Fan Park last Friday night, which was a first ever win in the Senior Cup against their neighbours. All four quarter finals are set to take place on the week ending Sunday, September the 19th. Elsewhere, Republic of Ireland striker Adam Ida is looking forward to sharing a pitch with Cristiano Ronaldo tomorrow night. The Cork native has been looking ahead to their World Cup qualifier against Portugal. Now, the Portuguese FA confirmed today that 7,865 spectators will be in attendance at the game, but no away fans are permitted. Ida says Ronaldo's one of the best ever.
Where he carries himself, I think he's got an unbelievable attitude, obviously a great work ethic, and what he does on the pitch is amazing. His goal scoring record is just outrageous. So I think once you have a player like Ronaldo playing in the game, it is exciting, and everyone's excited to get going and to play these games. They're big games for us, so yeah, everyone's excited just to get going.
Well, the confirmation of Cristiano Ronaldo's move back to Manchester United is the biggest news so far on transfer deadline day. He's returning to Old Trafford on a two-year deal from Juventus with the option of a third. The 36-year-old scored 118 goals in 292 games during his first spell with the club. He said on social media today he's back where he belongs and dedicated the move to former manager Sir Alex Ferguson. Meanwhile, Liverpool captain Jordan Henderson, he signed a new long-term contract with the club earlier today. The 31-year-old, who's made 394 appearances for the Reds in 10 years, is set to remain at Anfield until the summer of 2025. And Leeds, they have signed Welsh international Dan James from Manchester United. The winger moves to Elland Road from Old Trafford for £25 million and has agreed a five-year contract. While Scottish striker Lee Griffiths, he's completed a season-long loan move from Celtic to Dundee. Back more locally, after the new Irish League Premiership season got up and running last weekend, there are three more games down for decision tonight. Carrick, they play Warren Point. Cliftonville host Coleraine, and Crusaders, they play Portadown. Moving on to Gaelic games, and Declan Boner has been handed a fresh two-year deal as Donegal senior football manager. He's been at the helm for the last 4 years, but the county executive had welcomed other applicants for the role. None of the clubs provided an alternative candidate, which paved the way for Declan to continue. Donegal GA chairman Mick McGrath says the clubs were happy to reappoint Declan, and he expects him to make changes to his setup going forward.
I would be expecting that to happen. Declan is on holidays this week out of the county with his family, and the intentions would be that a representation from the county executive will meet up with Declan on his return sometime next week. But certainly before the championship commences in the county, he's keen for that to happen. And he wishes to review all his backroom team. He has spoken briefly to me about it. He said that there, in all probability, will be some changes, and we would want to, as an executive, we want to sit down and talk to him about budgets and about backroom teams and about his plans of what they're going to be for the forthcoming 12 months, and indeed if he was to conclude a 2-year period, what was his overall plan? He's very keen, I think, to continue the development of young players that are coming through. And that is occurring within the county's overall plan anyway. So we will certainly be in a position to maybe inform the clubs in a few weeks' time of what his plans are, and we'll discuss it with them. That would be our intentions at the moment, actually.
Moving on to Paralympics, and Katie George Dunleavy and Eve McChrystal will look to end their Paralympics in Tokyo with a third medal. Following their silver last weekend in the 3K pursuit, the duo took a brilliant gold this morning in winning the Women's B Cycling Time Trial. Dunleavy and McChrystal will look to carry that form into the road race, which takes place on Friday morning. They've already matched their gold and silver winning performances from the Games in Rio 5 years ago. Katie's dad, John, is from Mount Charles. Moving on to tennis, and women's fourth seed Carolina Pliskova leads American Catherine McNally 1-0 in their first round match at the US Open. Later on, top seed and 2018 champion Ashley Barty, she'll meet Vera Zvonareva. And in the men's draw, fourth seed Alexander Zverev and Californian Sam Querrey, they're just taken to the court. Later on, world number one Novak Djokovic, he starts his tournament against Holger Rune of Denmark at midnight Irish time. The Serbian is attempting to become the first male to complete a calendar Grand Slam since 1969. That's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. The Foreign Affairs Minister will address the controversy surrounding the UN job offered to Catherine Zapone at an Oireachtas committee shortly. Simon Coveney is expected to tell the committee he never believed Ms. Zapone lobbied him for the special envoy role. The former Children's Minister first showed interest in taking up a UN role for Ireland last summer by reaching out to Simon Coveney. She didn't take up the position after it emerged she'd held a private function at the Merion Hotel. Donegal's Joint Policing Committee is to launch a campaign targeting cybercrime. With an ever-increasing number of scams during the rounds, a Cyber Safety Week is to be held in Donegal during September. Sergeant Paul Wallace says the initiative is intended to make people more aware of how to protect themselves.
Right across the districts in the last week, there have been reports of fraud activity on accounts and that sort of thing. So in response to that, the Joint Policing Committee in Donegal County Council, which are members of the Rural Isolation, the Community Policing and Cybercrime, they're having they're launching a Cyber Safety Week. It's the 17th of September, but it's for people to be aware. They're doing it in three different ways. Posters, which have been supported by the Older Persons Council and the Community Guards are going to distribute them, in particular to the day centres, to try and get the message across to the older people. A social media campaign then, who for OGA have taken this, and the young people in the Youth Council and Donegal Youth Service, and that's been funded through the Healthy Donegal Fund. They're taking that aspect of it to try and put the message out that way, and they've worked on the project, and they're using a team. All that glitters is not gold, you know. It's like, if it's too, sounds too good to be true, it normally is. And then on the 17th of September, the JPC meeting, and I'm a member of that subcommittee. We're going to be addressed by Detective Chief Superintendent Paul Cleary of the Garda National Cyber Bureau, and I facilitated that because he is one of the people who has his finger on the pulse there on a national. He's the head of the Garda National Cyber Crime Bureau, and Eve Curran from the Ulster Bank. And Eve does a lot of work locally, going out into the community, and she's been out with ourselves when we were doing, and hopefully we will be, if restrictions lift over the winter months, just talking to people and explaining about the banks, and the banks won't contact you by electronic means. They'll contact you in the normal ways.
And that was Sergeant Paul Wallace. He was speaking during the Community Garda slot on today's 9 to noon show. That whole Community Garda slot, of course, available on our website, highlandradio.com, and the 9 to noon show, of course, podcast on the website as well. Well, the forecast and Met Éireann tell us it will stay dry into this evening with some bright weather in Donegal, actually better than it was earlier today. And again, it'll stay dry for the most part tonight. A mix of cloud and clear spells, just a chance of some spotty drizzle, but lowest temperatures overnight 7 to 10 degrees Celsius, east to northeast winds falling light or calm in places. That'll allow some mist or fog to develop. Mostly cloudy to start tomorrow morning. Isolated patches of drizzle possible. Cloud cover will become more variable during the afternoon, and sunny spells will develop as the day goes on. Highest temperatures on Wednesday of 16 to 19 or 20 degrees Celsius in mostly moderate easterly winds. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Looking at the main stories, and the Cabinet has signed off on a roadmap for ending restrictions by October 22nd in around less than an hour's time. The Taoiseach will announce that all COVID restrictions will be lifted by that date. However, the Green leader is stressing recommendations around mask wearing will not change. The North's Deputy First Minister has tested positive for COVID-19. Michelle O'Neill has contracted the virus despite having had two doses of a vaccine. She says she is self-isolating and will return to public duties next week. The HSE is urging anyone who wants to take COVID-19 tests in the North West to book in advance on hse.ie where possible. A number of people in Burnfoot whose homes were damaged by flooding in 2017 have been served notice by Donegal County Council to remove all personal items from the properties in Park and Greenan by a given date and time. We're back with news again at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 31st of August. The death has taken place of William Holmes, Drumurda, Letterkenny. Funeral leaving his late residence at 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, going to Dromahol Cemetery for 2 o'clock burial in the family plot. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member, or Kelly's funeral directors, Rafo. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family-only pleas, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. At the request of the family, all COVID guidelines to be adhered to. The death has taken place of Isabel McCain, Drumbo Upper Stranorer. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral service there on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the family plot in St Mary's Church of Ireland graveyard, Stranorer. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Finnview Ward, St Joseph's Hospital, Stranorer, care of James Key or Terns McClintock, funeral director, convoy. The death has taken place of Anne Henderson, 14 Hollybush Park, Port Hall, Lifford. Funeral from her home on Thursday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the funeral is private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted in the church. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, clonleyparish.com/webcam. The death has occurred of Adam Mulryan, 1 Emmett Park, Castle Finn. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Castle Finn. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Castle Finn. Due to government and HSC guidelines, the house is private and the church limited to a maximum of 50 people. The Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam on the Ernie Castle Finn Parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of Joe O'Kelly, Dunwiley, Stranorer. Joe's remains will repose at his late home in Dunwiley tomorrow from 5 to 8 for family, neighbours and close friends. Please adhere to current guidelines regarding face coverings and social distancing. Leaving there on Thursday morning at 10:30 to arrive at Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorer for Mass of the Resurrection at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery, Stranorer. In compliance with current HSC and government restrictions, the funeral will be private to family and friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted in the church. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to ICU, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Martin McGowan, McGowan's funeral home, or any family member. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/stranorer. The death has taken place of Danny Martin, 30, Forge Avenue, Ballintra. Danny's remains are reposing in St Bridget's Hall, Ballintra. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for Mass at 11 o'clock in St Bridget's Church, Ballintra, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. In compliance with current government restrictions, the wake, funeral and burial will be strictly private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted in the church. And the death has occurred of Bernard Midlin, Bomini, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his brother Paddy's residence in Ross Gear, Lifford. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Due to current HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are restricted to family and close friends only, please, with a limit of 50 people in the church.